Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. So we're talking about the Eightfold Path, aren't we? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. And it starts with what? What's the first part of the right Eightfold Path?
Right understanding. Right understanding?
What?
Right understanding.
Yep. Did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
And what is right understanding?
Mm-hmm.
There's two levels, does that help?
Yeah. Is that the one where somebody tells you something and you understand? You understand it from somebody telling you, or direct experience?
Somebody tells you something, it's like a seed is planted. And every time you hear it again, or you remember it, it gets a little water. And the second level is when you really realize it for yourself. And they're very different, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can be told something many times, it's not really good to lie because then you're putting too much focus on being right. Trying to protect yourself.
Yeah.
And it's not possible. You hear that and you hear that, and then one time you catch yourself lying and you say, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. And it's like comes up from your own being. So that's the relative view. And the transcendent view. There is dissatisfactoriness. Have you noticed that? Any of you? Things don't always go the way I want them to.
Every day. That's a good song.
Whoever I may be.
For Calgary.
There is a cause for dissatisfactoriness. What's that?
What is the cause?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she's
grasping.
What? What did you say, Jack? What did you say?
Dawn said grasping.
Okay, and you said something.
She did.
What did you say?
No, I was telling him that she was asking.
Oh, grasping.
Confusion with the other part.
Actually, right thought means develop the aspiration to cease to do evil. Cease to do what doesn't feel right. Develop the aspiration to learn to do good. So in a way, it's like beginning to grasp at purifying the mind of the aspiration to be more in the moment. Not already have a view of what's about to happen. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then this, thusness, is the teaching of the Buddhas. And every once in a while you have that moment where you're just present. And it doesn't require a sudden shower and then a rainbow and a sun or anything. It's like just looking at somebody that you always have difficulty with because they talk too much, like me or something. And you go, oh, dude, what tone is that voice? And you hear it totally differently. There's like just presence. So these are like the first the first stages aspiring for that. Again, it's like seeds being watered.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the next one? Right speech.
Action.
Right, we've already thought, right, speech, isn't it right? Speech next, yeah.
Speech.
Yeah, action is the next one. Avoid slander. Avoid aggressive, what do you call it?
Harsh
speech, they call it that. Hi, James.
Hi.
You want to sit here? Or?
I guess so.
So there's like right view, right thought, right speech. Avoid slander, avoid harsh speech.
And avoid prattle. Useless speech.
Yeah. Good for you. Just like a That's a little harder, isn't it? Because with our culture, with now the tweeting and the so much of that is really just sort of keep silent or speak dharma.
Well, in today's culture, though, couldn't it almost be right speech is talking to somebody person to person instead of tweeting? Because so much gets lost in tweeting, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a question that I have, but I'm biased. So I really can't answer that. Because I don't tweet. I went on Facebook because someone wanted me to see some pictures they posted of a trip they did. And then within a week, I had over 200 people inviting me to join. So I had my friend, my geek friend, Brenda, come over and get me off Facebook, and it took her hours to get me right off of it.
Yeah.
So there's all these little hooks they have in it.
Yeah. Well, maybe not tweeting, but texting then. You know, like...
Yeah, that's different.
You don't ever get the physical contact. Yeah, but you don't get the right content either, because it's...
Yeah.
You know.
OMG. Yeah. And the next one?
Right action.
Which is?
If it's negative, don't go there. If it's positive, feed it. Something
not right. Yeah, right action is avoid killing and harming. Remember? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. It's the parami, right?
Basically, it's only four of them, isn't it? From lying, from taking what is not freely given, from sex with children, with married people, with people who have another commitment. So it's more like feeling that your actions are wholesome. Again, all of them are moving you toward looking at the positive. I don't know if any of you have ever lied or stolen. Anybody in this room ever done that? Okay. I'm not alone. So when you did that, did you sort of one part of you think, well, everybody probably does that? In that circumstance, somebody else probably would have done that too? Or do you have a reason for it? I have any of you. None of you. Just me. Okay. So that's like what happens is that we start trying to bend reality to our view rather than being able to be present in every moment with a no view. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. We always have a reason. Well, he shouldn't have said that. Well, she shouldn't have said that. Well, it was because I was tired. Well, I was late for... We have a reason, don't we? And we're always very reasonable, aren't we? Extremely reasonable. I'm always very reasonable myself. And the next one is...
I
love you. And the number one right livelihood is fulfilling one's obligations. Isn't that curious? Mm-hmm. Isn't that neat? Mm-hmm. If you have an obligation, you fulfill it. Mm-hmm. Again, it's avoiding guilt, isn't mm-hmm. it? Or making up stories about why. You do as much as you are able. And that's the fullness of that one. It's like fulfilling one's obligations to the best of one's ability, not like totally fulfilling them if they whack you out. Or if you have to, you know, sacrifice going to the bathroom and you pee your pants in front of other people. Or something. I don't know. Whatever. As much as one is able. That's nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's not asking you to become a slave. It's asking you to be honest. And they all have that tinge, don't they? What happens when you actually are honest? Don't you feel better about yourself? Don't you feel more open? Generally, I do. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel able to see more rather than be watching to see who's checking on you?
No secrets.
Yeah. It's a kind of openness that's quite beautiful. I mean, you can keep secrets to surprise somebody with, you know, a bouquet of flowers when they least expect it or something. But that's kind of your joy in giving to them, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's more like the joy of your ability to be present. Mm-hmm. That all of these are moving toward. Whenever you pretend something isn't happening, or does that make you feel better? Mm-mm. What does it do?
Tired.
Pulls you down.
Pulls you down, makes you tired. So now we're where we were last week, are we? Right after? Isn't that where we mm-hmm. where we stopped last week? Last month? Got on tape, didn't you? Good. They all have a similar ring, don't they? They're all about feeling more comfortable with being who is, whichever self is present at the moment. Mm-hmm. You know that the self changes all the time, don't you? Mm-hmm. You've seen that, haven't you? Seen when you're happy, then, you know, somebody can step on your toe and you think, oh, gee, that was really interesting. I didn't expect that. When you're pissed off and you're trying to get somewhere and somebody's sitting there, what the fuck did you have your heart? So which self, you know, they just shift all the time. According to Buddha Dharma, which we'll get to in the next part. Well, it is part of right effort, is to be able to see how a thought is triggered by one of the sense doors. Sight, sound, smell, taste, or mind. And see how that's triggered, and that creates a memory, and that creates a pattern. That's both right effort and right livelihood. Right effort is seeing when one of the patterns is being triggered, that is like not where you want to go. So it begins, the right effort begins the move toward right awareness, which is the next step. So right effort is identifying the response to sense contact. That's the most base understanding of right effort. Do you get that, or do you want me to say more about that? Or?
Yes, say more.
Okay, so have you ever found yourself feeling a little edgy, and then realize you just saw a dog without anybody on it, without a leash, and when you were like 7 years old, a dog ran after you or something, and it comes from nowhere. There isn't any, and when you can see that, oh, that's I triggering a memory, it's based on the past, and do I want to go there? Or a sound, or a smell, or a taste. You start to pay attention to how a thought or a view is triggered. That's an interesting idea, isn't it? Because our mind just goes so fast, doesn't it? And then, you know, this mind state and this self, this mind state and another self, this mind state and the self is really happy, this mind state and the self is really scared. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
How many selves have we all been in since we sat down in this room? Oh, a few. Yeah?
So, when you realize that your senses make you respond a certain way...
They trigger memory.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've had that happen this last week. And it has to do with food... and policemen with German shepherds. So it goes back to a certain stage of my life.
Yeah.
So in order to break the chain of that, then I just stop it and just say...
No, you just say, oh, that's triggering a thought. Oh, that's a thought, and I'm here. Or you can say, that was then, this is now. It doesn't matter. But really to identify it as a reaction to an outer stimuli, which may or may not be the same stimuli. And some of the stimuli, from my point of view, come from more than one lifetime. So we can't really always connect them.
It's just that when I drive across the border where the wall used to be in Germany, where people got shot, I've done it 100 times. And I don't actually think, but I can feel my hair going up with the neck, and I can feel goosebumps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I think, what's going on? And then I realize, oh, it's the former border.
No, you just say, oh, that's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fear. What's fear good for?
Well, I think it warns. It protects you.
How does it do that? Doesn't it increase your focus for danger?
Yes, it does.
It really makes you focus really, really well, doesn't it?
But fear is part of anger, isn't it?
They're similar. Fear usually creates anger. Fear makes you like really look for the danger, and anger is finding the danger and attacking it. So what fear is really good for is a quality of awareness. So then what you can do is you say, well, that's fear, and then you can say, oh, what do I smell in the air? And try to bring yourself into the moment. Or what does my left buttock feel like? Or as if you cared. Is it nighttime? Is it daytime? What's the sky look like? They're like, I thought, change the sense door from triggering a memory of the past to an awareness in the present.
That's right, you don't feed it.
It's fine to be there, but you don't want to go there. You want to develop a new pattern. What we want to do is have choice. So that we're riding the mind, it's, you know, the memories aren't riding us. What we want to do is have a choice, name something and then use it. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is.
Every one of the 50 or 52 mind states has a power, has an energy. Not one of them is bad, but when they're taking us to other than the present moment, then we're caught. Aren't we? Mm-hmm. And immediately we will see things through that light, through that focus, won't we? Mm-hmm. If we can name the mind state as it comes up, as a thought or a mind state or a feeling, doesn't matter. As long as we name it, we're being already more objective, aren't we? Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. As soon as we're more objective, we can sort of say, what does it do? Like some mind states make us really good at dullness, don't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, I can just sort of blur things out. I'd like to blur out. What do you want to blur out? I think I'll blur out what? You know? Dullness. Okay. I think I'll just blur out the feeling that I don't have any choice. Then you're riding the mind. Greed. Never enough. Taste the moment or smell the moment. You know lilacs when they bloom? How many times do you have to smell it again?
Cecily, so when you feel this thing is lining up on some your car. Now so what do you just watch the whole episode unfold and then try to just become aware of it, or is it better to do something else?
It's not better to do something else. Why? Because you're just pushing it down. You're trying not to see it.
Yeah.
So if we keep pushing down something like fear or anger or dullness, it's just going to explode on us when the next moment comes again. Right. It's like pushing down a lava flow or something. Sometime or other it's going to pop up. So what we have to do is exactly what you said, name it. It doesn't matter if you name it 3 days later when you start. What matters is you say, oh, I see, I got angry. Oh, I see, I got scared. Oh, I see, I got greedy. And as soon as you name it, then you say, oh, what's the power? What else could I do with that greed? What else?
Sorry?
Then you say, well, what else could I have done with that greed? Or what? And, oh, maybe, I hope next time I remember that sooner. Uh-huh. So you're making an aspiration out of what before was painful to you.
Yeah.
You're making it into an aspiration, so you're turning it. Did you ever ride a bicycle?
Yeah.
Did you get on the bicycle?
I'm still riding the bicycle.
When you got on the bicycle for the first time, could you ride it perfectly?
No. Well, there was a moment where, hey, this is happening, and bang.
Right. And that's exactly what we do. We have to do something over and over and over again until it becomes second nature. Right. We have to make it another pattern. And we don't do it overnight. But if we have the aspiration, it'll happen a lot faster than we think. I have a friend who every time he starts to see one of his patterns, then he says, oh, it's never going to end. That's really useful, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? Well, that's a nice pledge. I vow to never let this end. And he's finally learning that really what he can say is, oh, I see it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's a year later. It doesn't matter if it's a lifetime later. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What matters is that you see it. And as soon as you see it, you name it. It's not a matter ever of being right. It's a matter of aspiring to be kind. That's the most powerful thing you can wish. And how do you start being kind? You start with yourself. If you can't be kind to yourself, you're not going to be able to be kind to anyone else, are you? Because you'll be wanting them to give back to you, won't you? Any of you ever done that in this room? One or two. You give something to somebody and then you wait to see whether they're going to appreciate it. Instead of appreciating that you could give it. They didn't give me back a winning lottery ticket for that bouquet of flowers I gave them the other day. Oh, I never...
Yeah, but on the same line, if somebody was really nice to you and you couldn't really return the thing in the same way, but you tried to be as genuine as you could and they maybe expected more.
So that's their problem, right? That's their problem. It's their problem. If somebody gives to me...
I wish I could help him, but I can't. You know.
That's not true. You can. You can accept what they give you with as much gratitude as you feel and thank them and not buy into their neuroses.
Not buy into the noodles?
Neuroses.
Oh, neuroses. Yeah, okay.
That's their neuroses that they expect more. And if you don't feed it, maybe they'll see it sooner.
It's an interesting thing, though, that they, how it works. Like you're always trying to put it in yourself, that then you see it actually in front of you with, in someone else's personality working out.
It's nice, isn't it?
And it's really touchy to try to help them with anything.
No, because first you have to help yourself. You have to quit giving too much and then thinking you should get something back. You're the one who has to help yourself first. And then that will automatically spread. Do you do that ever?
Okay.
Do you ever do that? Give too much and then...
Well, that's okay, that's good, you know, what the hell, generosity is good, right? So, yeah, I mean, it's a discount, you just leave it, you know.
But you don't, do you? There's a part of yourself that feels you should maybe give more, or is that true? Could that possibly be true, Mr. Otto? I mean, just like, maybe that true?
Yeah.
So when you see it in others, that's a step towards seeing it in yourself. So then you understand what they mean when they say all beings are the Buddha. Everybody is always teaching us the path to enlightenment. Everybody. Not decent of them. All places are nirvana. Enlightenment isn't something you get. You've already got it. St. Francis, this beautiful quote by him. What everybody is looking for is what is looking. Isn't that beautiful? That which is the doing the looking is what we're looking for. Isn't that beautiful? And that's exactly what Buddhism teaches, that enlightenment isn't something you need to get. Because getting is always the next moment. Isn't it? Shopping. But to find. And how are you going to do that if you're continuously trying to figure out what other people need or whether you were appreciated for what you did? Or you're not. You're not going to see underneath all of this sense of obligation. What is the nature of consciousness? Are you? Because the mind is always full of politics. Isn't it? What?
This is a Christian phrase.
I like it. Good. Does that make sense? And you'd think, you know, with Stephen Harper having spent so much time in Alberta, we'd know better than trying to join politics. You know what that does for you. Anybody you... any of you planning to vote conservative in the next election? No. That's from water. Any other questions, answers, comments, or complaints?
So, I had something happen to me a couple of months ago where my sister, who is mentally not well, and she was screaming at me for an hour and a half, and I didn't realize at the time what was happening to me, but 24 hours later, I knew that I had triggered into being 2 and 4. That when this was happening and I was back and she was 10 years older and I was this little kid. And so I was grateful that it only took me 24 hours to realize it.
That's brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, like I was really happy about it and I gave myself lots of,
yeah.
You know, you did it, right?
Good.
And it only took 24 hours. So... was that it, or should I have carried it farther? Because I didn't know what else to do after.
Well, that was good, wasn't
okay.
it? Didn't that change the way you related?
Yeah, and it made me realize who I am,
yeah.
How I react to things,
yeah.
And it made me realize...
So you saw the pattern?
Yes, I did.
So that's the point,
that was the
to
point.
Be able
okay.
to see the pattern and then aspire not to be caught in it anymore.
Well, I had the realization that I don't think I would be again. It was so dramatic.
Yeah, and so that's really nice. But then you make it like not into a rule. You make it into, may I not be free? May I not be triggered into this again?
Okay.
May I not be? So that leaves a little room for some other memory from who knows what to come up and... You know,
so
it's
then,
not a matter of not having fear or anger or greed or delusion or any of those things. It's a matter of seeing them and knowing how to interact with them.
Okay, so then last week she phoned me and it was my birthday, and it's the first time in probably 10 or 15 years she hasn't screamed at me or accused me of doing something. And when I got off the phone, I had quite clarity of who she was and what I had to do next. So, did I need to carry it into something else?
I don't know. What was your idea of who she was?
That I had to take custody of her legally. Mm-hmm.
Is she on her own now?
Yes.
So does that sound good for her?
Yes.
To be on her own?
No.
No.
No, it's good for...
It's good for her to have somebody be her caretaker.
Yes.
Who has some authority over her.
Yes. Yeah. And I was resisting from June to now because I knew she would resist it. I didn't know how to do it. I was told I had to go to home care. I was told I had to go to a doctor. I was told I had to do all these assessments. And it was just getting bigger and bigger. And then 2 days ago, I got a phone call. I talked to someone, and there's somebody here that would do it all. And then the total clarity came. And it was like such a relief.
So you felt overwhelmed by
yes.
all the things that there was to do, and then you found out that there was another option.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I felt really grateful for some of the burden being taken from me.
Mm-hmm.
So is that gratefulness? Did I need to carry it farther, or was
no,
that...
No, that's another okay. mind state.
Okay.
That's a mind state. Don't cling... According to the Buddha, the positive mind states are more dangerous than the negative. Why?
Because you're going...
Yeah, and you hang on to them.
Mm-hmm.
I
feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they feel good, yeah. I like
yeah.
it.
And we kind of, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a negative, it makes us very aware.
Mm-hmm.
So he said that about meditation, that, you know, when you meditate just to have a really good concentration, that a lot of people get stuck there because they're just in this blissful state and it feels so good. It's like their own private little escape hatch.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's dependent on causes... What do you know about when something is dependent on causes?
It's impermanent.
It's impermanent. Sometime or other, isn't everything changing all the time? Is there an earthquake where? Another one in New Zealand? That means the fault is shifting some more, and it's going to go all the way up, it's going to go up to Vancouver Island. The whole planet is shifting and changing, isn't it? Sinkholes in the road.
Oh, Edmonton. So then, with her, then, would my aspiration then be the best coming to her and ease for me?
It's the best for both of you, isn't it? Wouldn't that be
okay.
the best for you?
Okay.
Wouldn't that be ease be the best for you?
Yes.
So it's the best, yeah. May this circumstance, may it be used to the best of my ability for the benefit of everyone. Has she been diagnosed?
I don't know.
Oh.
I know they've taken away her driver's license, but they've left her in her home.
Yeah. So you do need to talk to her doctor, don't you?
But I don't know who the doctor is, and she can't remember the name.
But she have pills?
She has pills, and home care has it all.
Mm.
And that's why this company that I found is going to do it all.
Okay, so you've got that already
mm-hmm.
underway. Mm-hmm. Well, that's excellent, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's out of compassion. You want to make sure that she doesn't get caught. Doing that to somebody that she might hit, or is that true?
Hit physically or hit driving or?
Hit physically,
yes.
So she might trigger somebody else's anger. And what might they do?
Mm-hmm.
Whack her. And would that help her?
No.
Would it help the other person?
No.
Those kinds of decisions are hard, but they're the point in all of our lives where we need to be moved into a different type of care, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's in a hospital or in an old age home or in a mental health unit.
Well, again, for me, the hardest was becoming involved because I've always been frightened of her anger. So then I tried to stay away. But
did
I
that
was
work?
Really. No. Well, yeah, it did for a while.
No, I mean, it stopped working.
Yeah, right.
That's the point.
Yeah.
And the more you stayed away and you were successful, the more that fear that it might not would come up, you know, so it increases the resistance. And then when it came up, you had this memory and it released something in you.
Yes.
So that was a nice insight. Who knew that in your reaction to her, you would have an insight?
Well, and that's true. And then I had this huge insight when she was kind last week too, because the reason I stayed away was for about 8 years she was telling how I was a liar and a thief and I stole all of her money and I left her penniless. So I didn't want anybody thinking that I'd done it, so I stayed away so that, you know, but then I was back there again.
It didn't work.
No.
Which is what I'm saying.
But last week I realized why she was saying it. So I had the clarity of what had been going on for all those years.
Mm-hmm. And who knows what lifetime, or, you know, who knows, according to the Buddha, trying to find the original cause is conducive to madness.
Mm-hmm.
So which lifetime, which sister, which brother, which
mm-hmm.
mother, which father, you know.
Mm.
It's like,
so what you said earlier about livelihood, does part of the... Because I always thought livelihood was how you made your livelihood. But the way you described it tonight...
Do as much as one is able.
It's more what we're talking about.
It is, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And that is how we make our living, isn't it? And it changes, doesn't it, over time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this didn't work, okay. And well, I'm able to do more now. That's a shifting dance. The whole Eightfold Path is a shifting dance. Everything changes all the time. And it's a circle. You've heard me say that before, haven't you? It's a circle. It goes round and round. There isn't a beginning or an end to it. It just goes round and round. It's when at some point you jump off the merry-go-round into another level of understanding. That's what the Eightfold Path is doing, showing you how to look beyond subject-object duality.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we're caught in subject-object duality, we're subject to suffering, aren't we?
As long as we're caught in
subject-object duality,
okay,
then we're not free, are we? dependent on circumstances. If I didn't talk to her.
So then how do we become free? Like, how do we get so there isn't a subject-object?
And that's the question.
Okay.
Through the Eightfold Path.
Okay.
By slowly training the mind. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. What's the third step? Purify the mind. What? Who was it that reacted with fear when she got angry? Was it you or was a two-year-old in you? Which was it?
Probably both of us.
Well, probably the one here was fed by the one there.
Right.
So where did it start? Well, the one there was fed by what lifetime?
Yeah.
Purify the mind of this or that. You did this and I did that. Realizing that the interdependence of everything is profound and not understandable by a separate I. If I am separate from you, then if you vote conservative and I vote liberal, or you vote NDP and I vote Green Party, who's right? Who's right? Depending on your circumstances, you vote that way, depending on my circumstances. But which lifetime? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
How can we find an original cause? We can't. How can there be a fixed identity? There can't. There's these series of propensities. Creates this self or that self or this self. This one that's afraid, this one that sees the fear. Everyone has a slightly different view or a slightly different understanding, isn't it? So that is the first step to understanding subject-object duality. Realizing that there is no fixed subject and there sure as heaven, hell, and earth ain't no fixed object. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done any study of perception? Mm-hmm. Have you ever taken a dog for a walk? Huh? Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that? Mm-hmm. So does a dog perceive differently than you?
Mm-hmm.
Really? How come? This, you know, could be one of your by perception is right. Why is that dog? I'm not sniffing that water hydrant. Why is that dog sniffing it? Why did you see Jaggers reach over and sniff Daisy? Lift your leg. I really like that. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
And then, depending on your mood, what you see changes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You ever looked one day at the sunset and thought, oh, damn, it's already sunset. It was winter, I hate winter. You know, the sunset another time, you say, oh my God, it's so beautiful in the winter when the sun is like so low and it slides off. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So which is the right one?
Oh.
Depends on the mind state. So is the mind state partial?
Mm-hmm.
So what is the screen that the movie is playing on? Why can all those mind states appear and then leave and another one appears, like the next scene of the TV show, without there being any, you know, residue from the one before? How come all the images don't, you know, start... What is the quality of consciousness itself that allows all these different movies to play? Isn't that an interesting question? Hmm. Not what you are looking for, but what is looking for. What is it that he's looking for? They say, turn around in the seat of consciousness. In the Japanese tradition, turning around in the seat of consciousness. All of those koans that don't have an answer, that is stop the mind from subject object and see what's left. But we don't like that, do we? Not in the West, no. Is this meaning something to you?
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get there, we have to keep going, right view, right thought, right speech. We have to do it over and over until we create an openness and an interest in it. Whatever self is arising. Not preferring one, not thinking the other is right or bad or good. And that takes a while, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Any of you ever judge yourselves?
I'm not very good at that.
There's a good example right there. So long as we're judging ourselves, we're actually not looking at how many selves there are. Are we? We're actually choosing a self who's good at tearing the self down as the identity. And it's only a matter of time before that will switch, because we'll just, you know, the bruises are too big and the swelling, so you can't get your pants on anymore. And, you know, so then you have to stop for a while, and then you start finding reasons why, and then it's them that are causing you to do that. And then that one stops, and then there's a real desire to go shopping. What is the mind that sees the mind? What you're looking for is what is looking for. What is the movie screen on which the movies play? That's the whole point of the Eightfold Path. To bring us slowly and without fail to realizing there is no right, because there's no fixed identity. I don't know if you've ever heard me say this before, but there's this tribe of Indians in the Amazon Valley called the Yanomamo. I don't know. Have you ever heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what do? They train their warriors to go out, their young men, to go out and go travel very long distance sometimes to another village that they've heard about and kill all the men and steal all the women. And the better they do that, the better they are. That's what good is to them. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? That's their good. I wonder how many different qualities of good there are in me in like 5 minutes. Or you. Or a city. Or a province. Or a country. Or the world. Tomorrow I'm going to wear one of my favorite t-shirts. I hope you enjoy it.
So that's what we see when we're watching the news. We're watching all these different qualities of good playing out on our TV.
Good and evil.
But if you asked Muslims what the good is, what they're doing is good. If you ask the Christians,
yeah, that's right.
Nothing for one to be good, the other one has to be evil. Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing rises without cause.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Really.
It's fabulous, actually.
It's freeing. It frees you to understand beyond prejudices.
So if they think it's good to kill all the men and take all the women, and it's good, so it creates a karma.
What does karma mean to you?
Movement.
Action.
Yeah. Action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, action.
Yeah.
But it creates an action. So in the future...
No.
No?
No, it's not karma that creates the future. It's the motive. The motive of the action. Have you ever seen two people do the same action but with different motives?
Probably, but I can't think of it right now. Well, I guess using that example, you know, if you look in the Second World War, people were killed for a certain reason, and now they're doing it for a different reason, right? So
yeah.
It's the same thing, but...
Yeah, but the motive is different.
Motive,
it's the motive that creates. It's the motive that is the river. Like if we have a river of fear or a river of hatred or a river of desire or a river of obedience, then that river is going to create a result. It's the flow. The action is just the way the ground opens the best way for it to matter.
So then does
but
that
the flow
mean,
is what can change.
Right. So if their motive is good, then the karma on that, the future of that, is good. Is that, we
no.
have a good motive? No?
No. Their motive isn't good.
Well, if their motive...
Killing and harming is not good. We all feel that somewhere.
Okay.
Don't we?
I think so.
I know so.
Okay.
But there's a difference between good and authority, isn't there?
Yes.
So if you're raised with a certain authority... What's that story about the guy who's... the kid who lives on the streets, you know, that old... You know, who's a wallet picker and everything? And,
mm-hmm.
Oliver.
Yeah. Oliver, yeah.
Oliver Twist, mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that lovely?
Mm-hmm.
How does it start?
Mm-hmm.
Who did
money,
what?
Money.
Yeah, desire, greed. But some people desire not to steal, and some people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Who did what to who? In which lifetime? Which mother? Which father? It really isn't possible to find a first cause. It's possible to identify the flow of a river and change the flow by moving a few stones. Mm. When you can identify a flow, you have power.
Mm.
If you can't identify the flow, you have no power. You're just caught every time, over and over again.
Mm.
And a flow is never just one cause, not from just this lifetime.
So is the Eightfold Path the river or the moving the stone?
Both.
Both.
Is okay. How to make the river move.
Okay.
To a different direction. Not on the
So
course.
So number six is one stone, number four is another stone, and movement of those stones changes the river.
Yeah.
Okay.
And movement of any one of those stones will change
right.
all the others somehow. But moving more of them really changes it. And when it's really changed and it's totally different pattern, then there's an understanding that there isn't any fixed pattern, and then you turn around and look at consciousness. And you try to find, okay, well, where is the self here? Where's the consciousness here? And you look and you look. And you can't find one. There doesn't seem to be any fixed identity, is there? Have you noticed how many times you've changed in this
mm-hmm.
class?
Mm-hmm.
Is there? It feels like there is, but when you turn around and look, yeah.
Also, how easy it is to change the identity. I mean, you meet this person on the street, or you walk into this kind of building as opposed to that kind of building, and it's a
or you
I'm
hear
totally
a siren,
different.
Or you hear a bird.
That's right. Yeah.
any of the sense doors.
Yeah.
And it calms immediate mind state arises.
And we do that. We do that all the time anyway.
Continuously. Like split second, according to Buddhism.
Yeah.
Split second. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So then when you try to see the screen on which the movie's playing, what is the quality of the screen? And pretty soon you realize that, you know, a TV screen has to be clear before you can see a movie on it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. You realize it's got some kind of clarity that allows everything to appear and then disappear, so it is never smudged by anything. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And then you turn around and you examine the clarity. You say, well, what's the nature of this clarity? What do you find? Nada. You don't find anything. And you keep looking and you can't find anything. You can't really name because there's no subject object. Mm. Nothing. No thinking. And then you say, well, what's looking? And you see the clarity. And then you see the emptiness. And then you see the clarity. And then you seal clarity with emptiness, and emptiness clarity. And then you have non-dual wisdom, which transcends subject-object duality.
And then there's this body.
No, there isn't.
Okay.
Which molecule? Oh, that one just died. Oh, another one just jumped in. Every 6 years, every molecule in your body changes.
But what hurts then?
Patterns.
Okay.
I thought it was seven.
Hmm?
I thought it was seven.
I don't know, maybe it's five.
I don't know.
I thought it was six. We'll have to check it out.
Mm-hmm. Start counting.
Tag them up.
And the regeneration of the pattern gets slower and slower as you age. Eh? Any other questions, answers, comments, or complaints?
I do.
Yes.
The other night I was going out to meet a group of friends at a restaurant. And before I had finished dinner and was finishing watching the news, I had bad vibes, just negative feeling. Sort of like, don't go out there tonight, James. Something bad's going to happen. And I just sort of realize how much I'd rather hang out with my friends at this restaurant than the feeling saying something bad is going to happen. And as I just decided to just use the words keep calm and carry on, nothing bad happened. It's like,
how nice is that?
Yeah, it was very liberating.
It is liberating, isn't it?
Because my mind started to create all these wonderful things that were going to happen to me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. The mind can be used anyway. First we have to see that. Otherwise we're just subject to whatever patterns, whatever lifetime, whatever, you know, causes and conditions created the mind. But there is no... I love that movie, A Beautiful Mind, because that's exactly what he says in it, isn't it? You've seen that movie.
Yeah.
Where he's saying, like, okay, the mind can be what it is, but I can use it the way I want.
Yeah.
Like the patterns of the mind, the thoughts can come or go, but I can choose how I use them. And I choose the wholesome. And that's basically what you're saying. You chose the wholesome.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Thanks.
I often say to people who are on retreat, I often say to them, okay, what mind state do you want to, you know, you're going to die sometime. It could be any second. What mind state do you want to be your habit for when you die? Oh, when were you going to practice it? That's a good question, isn't it? I think it's a really good question. How you doing?
Great.
We got 20 minutes left, so I'm asking you.
So I've had a theme going for the last, for quite a while, but it kind of became a little more obvious what it was. And kind of resolve, or it, where it got to was a feeling of this realization was a real subtle kind of distaste for the world. And by the world, I mean everything. Mm-hmm. This feeling of distaste. Mm-hmm. So I started tracing that back.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, you know, I can kind of identify some maybe things way, 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 way back in the past. And, but who knows, right? But what was interesting was that it cast things that I thought were, whether, you know, there's kind of events that are that come back whenever you kind of go into a feeling, maybe this event that pops up, you know, that was significant. And you think, you know, that, you kind of think you know what that means. You know, okay, I did this and I did that. And, so, you know, and then that's maybe one layer of what it was. This one was interesting in that it felt like some of the things that I thought were really primal were actually symptoms of this other one that was even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been really interesting. And just to kind of watch it and then see how that kind of informs a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And it's probably taken a year and a half to kind of percolate up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see it coming at all.
Mm-hmm. Interesting,
eh? Yeah. And sometimes it's quite physical. Like it's a feeling of, like, you know, wanting to vomit almost.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's just a real subtle cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, look at that. You know, but it's all kind of this real deep distaste. Mm-hmm. It's the best I can describe.
Yeah. And you know that about yourself. There's a part of yourself that likes to keep a certain distance.
Because mm-hmm. Yeah. It tastes bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested in the fact that it is, to me, it has such a, well, this taste, it's an expression of a sensual, of a sense. And I find it really interesting that it's that basic sensory, physical, kind of that's the way it seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it informs all this other.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, so.
What are you looking for? You must have known I would ask that.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand it because it's.
Who is the I that's going to understand it?
Oh, it's a distasteful character.
That's not good enough.
I know.
There is something that really wants to get an answer, isn't there?
Because because it's an uncomfortable and it, but it's such a colors so much. I guess I just want to understand why it colors so much. Or
yeah, but it's very straightforward. It colors so much because it's a mind state that you haven't seen arising before.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to figure out what its root is in a way very much like trying to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you do that, you will be even more distant. Mm-hmm. Because you won't have compassion for people who are in that mind state. Mm-hmm. There is not one mind state that is not useful. Mm-hmm. The whole thing about being able to be distant is also called objective in our society, isn't it? Are there times when it's very useful to be objective?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to be triggered into it when you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it isn't a good idea from a Buddhist or a meditation point of view to try to trace the origin.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually name it as a mind state and therefore not be caught in it. First, you free yourself from being caught in it. When I was able to do that, then one time there was this emotion that came up that I used to get caught in all the time. Came up in huge waves. It had been coming up for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This time it went where I have no idea, I was almost not there. Then it stopped. And then there was these whole series of memories going back more than this life.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this, first there was this sensation in the body, then the emotion, then this memory. And it's like, that is the order that one understands something. But trying to find out where it begins is not the same thing as feeling the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the energy so that you can distance yourself from it. Then that stops you from being biased when memories come up. The dislike of it
mm-hmm.
is causing a stickiness to it and looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dislike that makes you want to find out where it starts. There is no starting point. Who did what to who? Which lifetime?
Yeah. It's been more of a. There's definitely an aspect of it's distasteful, but it's more of a, where did that? Like, wow.
That's always been there?
Yeah,
but where did that come from is also like a very subtle
mm-hmm.
but a real want to know.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, how can I use this?
Mm-hmm.
How can I use this?
Okay.
And so switching the focus
mm-hmm.
then totally puts you riding the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it's going to be some other cause that started it. And you're saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm riding this horse. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Whoever he is now has decided.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Any other questions, answers, comments, or complaints? So, we've done right view, we've done right thought, we've done right speech, we've done right action, we've done right livelihood. Right effort is identifying the response to sense contact as it arises. Identifying the response, not trying to figure out where it started. Identifying the response to sense contact. Eye, ear, five senses, and mind. They're the six types of consciousness, aren't they? Seventh is ego, eighth is, what do you call it? The one that flexes on the back.
So the six sense doors.
Identifying what something triggers. Identifying the trigger. identifying what it is, which content. Was that thought? Was that smell? Was that taste? As soon as you do that, you're already moved from being swept by the stream to seeing the stream. It's quite beautiful, isn't it? It's basically what you learn to do in the next one, which is called right mindfulness. You teach yourself to watch the sense doors. Watch, oh, I'm watching my breath. Oh, I'm thinking. Oh, there was sound that triggered that thought. Okay, back here. It's breath. And it's always the first time.
What do you mean it's always the first time?
It's always the first time. You don't say, oh, I've been doing this for so long.
And it doesn't work.
It's always the first time, because that's the number one way people get caught in their meditation, is to think that they should. Any of you? One or two of you?
So it's right effort to see that contact with the various senses.
Yeah, you can say, once you say, oh, there's that feeling or that thought, or... And which sense door triggered it? That's what you try to see.
And that's right mindfulness.
Yeah.
They're just linked like one of them.
Yeah, as much as you're able. No, it's right effort. Sorry. Right effort. Yeah, and which then, is what we're talking about tonight.
And then, but right mindfulness.
We haven't got there yet. Okay. We might get there tomorrow.
So right effort.
Right effort.
That was the biggest thing that I learned, was trying to get the big trap of trying to get it right. Like trying to do it right, trying to sit. I didn't do this right, because it leads to so much self-loathing and hatred and negative mind states and all that crap.
It is terrible.
So negative.
We are so cruel to ourselves.
Just trying to be right.
We are so cruel to ourselves.
Yeah. As soon as I start getting it right, just decided to do it.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it's always like the first moment, always the first moment. Like riding a bicycle, it's always the first moment. There's no right or wrong. As soon as there's a right or wrong, you're down the tubes. Isn't that true? Like you're saying, that's what you're saying.
Somebody the other day said to me that they decided to stop being caught in the neuroses of their life and just start living it. And it was such a wonderful statement. That's so lovely.
Yeah. So is that good for this evening?
Yes.
You adequately sufficed? Had a sufficient sophonicity?
Sufficient sophonicity.
It's getting a little warm in here anyway.
It's a bit muggy.
So you notice this beautiful gold light in your hearts. It spreads through your body. Goes up your spine, down your spine, down your legs, out your arms, up your head. It spreads out in every direction. You can feel it just filling this room. Right through the house, right through the neighborhood. Just goes out everywhere. Anybody you want to pray for, above, below, in front, behind, right, left, four quarters. Just fills the whole world. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings. So there is a suffering. Whatever wholesomeness has been gathered by our coming together, we share it with all beings. So thank you. Thank you for your great compassion. That's it.